While you're standing and undo that unnecessary motion. Some of you just don't have that much energy. I'm going to try to preserve all your energy that we can so you can come back tonight. Amen? Amen? Amen. Yeah. You don't convince me. Somebody asked me if I was eating gunpowder and lead while I was gone. Yeah, I love it. We're missing 50 people. Y'all know where they're at? We're down. Unless the counters are wrong, we're missing at least 50. Chris, what? Chris said, your daughter. Turn with me to the gospel according to Mark. The gospel according to Mark this morning will be in the fourth chapter. Let me say thank you for coming up, those that made their way up. It was a blessing one night as I turned off of whatever the name of that one road was and turned onto another road. And I saw the church over there and I saw that white van. And I could tell from the distance that was it said Calvary on it. What a blessing it was to see all of you. And I'm not going to name you. If you were on that van, you come up. I appreciate you being there. The church was well represented at both revivals at different times. And if you were one of them that come up, I sure do appreciate you coming. And you said, well, I couldn't come, preacher. If you prayed, I appreciate it. I honestly do. My throat was just about shot. I think we preached like 15 times in the last 2 weeks, and it's just about shot. You knew I had a sinus infection going into that first revival and had just finished my antibiotic about midway through that one. But anyway, the voice is the first thing that gets hit on a pastor. It just is. But I think we'll get through this morning, and I believe the Lord's got a message for us. And I know that somebody today can be helped with this. And I'm going to speak expressly to those that are lost. If you've been coming here to this church any length of time at all, you've heard messages. I preach to the church a whole lot here lately about encouragement. I preach about overcoming bereavement. I preach about helps and all the different things. I preach to the church a whole lot. Today it seems like in this past couple of weeks, the Lord has been kind of working in my heart with messages of salvation. And you say, well, that toast to the church. It is if you got your name on the roll of the church, but you're not a part of the church. So I would encourage you today to search your heart. If you're saved, you know that. You really do. You know that. And if you're lost, I truly believe that you know that as well. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. You just can't do it. You know. You know if you've been saved. And if you've not, I'm wondering, why are you prolonging it? What are you putting off? You could be, and I'm not saying you're convicted every time you come here. There was a little lady that used to be in our company at another church that I went to, and the Lord put it upon my heart to go talk to her because out of her own mouth, she's lost. She ain't beating around the bush. She's lost. By her own admission, she's lost. So I went and talked to her, and I said, why don't you come? Why don't you give your heart to the Lord? And she said, I am lost. But she said, I've always been preached to that you have to be drawn before you can come. I said, that's the scriptures. She said, I've not been drawn in years. Now, I'm telling you what, my friends, that woman told me right. The scripture said, you're not coming except you're drawn. Now, listen, he's not always going to draw you. If he ever draws you, you better run. If he ever implores you, begs you, you ought to act on that. It might be a day or two before he comes back and visits with you. You'll come whenever he's drawing you, or you won't come at all. So as we preach today, just let me ask you, and let me just say this in opening. How many of you folks in here put out a garden? Raise your hand, or any kind of a garden. Boy, we don't grow much anymore, do we? We just don't grow much food. Let me ask you that. How many of you don't really grow a garden or don't know anything about gardening? Seth, you know enough that would you take, if you were wanting to grow pumpkins, would you walk out here in this side parking lot and throw those pumpkin seeds down? You looked at Kelsey to see if... Why, she's growing her own pumpkins. Lord help us. Maybe I shouldn't have chosen Seth. Chris, would you go throw watermelon seeds on the parched dry ground beside the building? We grew up on a farm and we knew a little bit about farming. We raised tobacco. We would go out there and we would gas the plant beds. Anybody ever heard of gassing plant beds? We know what gassing plant beds are. You take a strip of plastic about from here to that back wall, about yay wide, about as wide as the section of those pews, and we would gas the plant bed. What you're doing, you're putting down heavy plastic. And then you put in gas, and that gas kills everything. I mean, it leaves no weeds. Then you come right in after you remove the gas, you then put in your seeds. Now they buy their own plants, but we would sow our tobacco seed in that plant bed. And then after the plants come up, Robbie, we'd go out and we'd pull plants. And we'd put them in these little crates, and then we'd go ride the tobacco setter. But we didn't set them out in the parking lot, Brother Tam. Somebody had gone before us. Somebody had gone before us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Paul planted, Apollos water, but it was God that gave the increase. Somebody plowed before I ever got here. Somebody prepared the ground. Brother Robbie, they'd go out there and they'd turn them old stalks, whether it be corn or hay or winter wheat or whatever silage stubble they had left. They'd turn that under at the fall and they'd let that sit and they'd let that land rest. And then in the spring, Brother Robbie, they'd come out there and they'd turn it again. Then they'd take a disc and then they'd disc that field and they'd try to remove the big boulders and rocks. And next thing you know, Brother Ryan, they took a plow through there and they put those rows up and they made a sled row for the sled to go through. And then those of us that would put those tobacco plants in the ground, brother, that the work had already been done. Why? Because we'd gassed the bed. We'd prepared the soil. We'd done everything that was possible in the hopes that we would have a harvest. Amen. Why? Because there's a bunch of little hall boys that needed to eat. And we made our money on tobacco. We made our money on the things that we grew. We eat green beans. But Kenny, we had to grow green beans. I'm serious. If you grew tomatoes and you wanted tomato soup, if you wanted homemade beef vegetable soup or whatever we put in that, you better grow some tomatoes. That's just the way you did it. I know we go down, yeah, we don't have to grow anything anymore. We got gardens, or we got Walmart, or we got Food Lion. Somebody's growing it. So I'm saying this tonight. If you ain't already figured it out, we're preaching on the parable of the soils or the parable of the seeds today, whichever way you want to look at it. The Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter number four, beginning in verse number one. Let me say this. If you're here and you're a visitor, you're welcome. I'm not always this mean. I just feel especially mean today. And I kind of like it. Bless God. Turn me on. Brother Feldman called me up at one, the first time that I ever heard Feldman Cheek's voice. Bless God, Brother Hall. This is Pastor Feldman Cheek from Calvary Baptist Church. I'm like, oh, who is? Okay. Kind of scared me, actually. Bless God, we want you to come and preach a revival for us. Bless God, you don't hold back. You just preach. I'm like, So we come and we preach the revival. Brother Tam, your daddy loved him. Not sheepish about the word of God. Not sheepish about his faith. Bless God, and I'm trying my best to guard what he started. He plowed and plowed and plowed, and he worked the ground here. I've been coming in here, and we've been trying to throw some seed out. We're going to throw some out today. I'm just wondering where it's landing. If you'll listen real closely today, you're going to find out. You got one of the four soil types. The Bible says in verse number one, and he began again to teach by the seaside. There was gathered in him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship. Sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea and on the land. He taught them many things by parables. And a parable, my friends, is nothing more than a heavenly story, an earthly story with a heavenly message. So he's teaching them, and I love it when God gives his own commentary on his own word. And he does this because every time I preach a verse today, he's going to give me the commentary on that same verse. You'll see it here in just a minute. Hearken, verse number three. Behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, and because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. And I'm going to stop right there, but I'm going to use the other, but we'll use it in its proper time when God tells us to use it. I'm going to ask Brother Tommy McGlamory. Tommy, you'll never know right now, this side of eternity, how much it means to me see you sitting on that third pew back. And I mean that. It's a blessing. Bless our scripture reading, Tommy, then we'll all be seated. Amen. Before we dive right into the Word of God, when we leave here today, the Vicki Miller's family will be receiving at Mount Perrin Baptist Church, which is on Wildcat Road. You cut up to go to Ferguson, not quite the deep gap. You actually go to Ferguson, cut back on Stony Fort, go over that way. It's about 30 minutes from here to there. The receiving is from 1:30 to 3. The service is at 3 o'clock there at Mount Perrin Baptist Church. So you'll be praying for Miss Vicki and her family. And when you have a death in the church, it puts a damper on things. But Miss Vicki loved her dear mama, and let's please lift her up. Let me just ask you a couple quick questions. Let's read one more verse of scripture. Go over to the book of Luke. Three of the gospels give almost a verbatim account of this scripture that we're reading. But in the book of Luke, I'm not taking anything out of context, but I want you to clearly, without any kind of a wonder in your mind, I want you to see what the seed is. Okay, because I want you to see that. As we just read in the book of Mark, he tells us, but it's not as pointed. It's not as blatant as it is in Luke's writing. So Luke chapter number 8, in verse number 11, this is the pair of the sower. It goes right into the same scriptures. He tells it about that it bear fruit, and verse number 8 brings 100-fold. You see that down through there. Verse number 11 says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So let's make sure we know what we're preaching, what we're talking about. So I would ask you this morning, for those, and every one of us knows a little bit about growing. I don't know, you might not have a garden, and you might not have, you might not even have a green thumb, but you'll know when I'm preaching this word of God that what I'm telling you is the truth. If you want to have a bountiful harvest for your family, you got to do two things. You got to use good seed, and you've got to prepare the soil. There's two things that's got to take place. If you want to produce any fruit in your own life, if you want to be blessed, if you, Brother Robbie, want those people that you work with to be saved, if I, as a pastor, want to see this church grow, and I want to see Calvary start to bloom and to blossom, and I'm talking about grow on the vine. He is the vine. We are the branches. If I want to see those branches begin to produce fruit, there's two things that we've got to do. We've got to use good seed, and we've got to prepare the soil. So I could go through this whole thing and just keep saying that over and over and over. If you want to be a successful soul winner, bless God, use good seed and prepare the soil. In today's message, bless God, we're going to be talking about the scriptures that pertain to a salvation message. Bless God, to help us with a closer walk with the Lord. And Brother Tam, if we're going to have a closer walk with the Lord, we're going to have to use good seed, and we're going to have to prepare the soil. And the soil is none other talking about us, the people, us, the hearers. The seed is the word of God. So he woke me up in the past talking about the need of salvation messages. And I don't know who it's going to be for. It could be somebody that come in on a van. It could be somebody that brought in with a friend. Or it could be somebody that has sat on the church pew up here for the last many, many years. And you've heard the word of God over and over and over. And it's been expounded upon. Well, let me tell you, you're going to keep hearing the word of God. It matters not which preacher's in the pulpit. We're using good seed here. I promise you that. We're not using any kind of newfangled hybrid. Bless God, Brother McKinney, we've got the heirloom. We've got the vintage. We've got the heritage seeds. We've got that. The pure word of God. The infallible, inspired, inerrant, whole word of God in our hand today. So we're using good seed. So if we then know that we're using good seed, then if it's not producing, if there's not 30 or 40 or 60 or 100 fold, then wherein lies the problem? The problem is not with the seed. Oh, can we go ahead and nail that down, choir? The problem's not with the seed. The seed's okay. The seed's fine. The seed is perfect. The seed, bless God, is Jesus Christ. You said, I thought you talked about the Word of God is the seed. He is the Word of God, and the seed is the Word of God. But what did the Bible tell us? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. So we've got a great big God. To suggest that there's a problem with the seed suggests that we've got a problem with God. And there is no problem with God. Not the God the Father. There's no problem with God the Son. And bless God, there is no problem with God the Holy Spirit. He's here each time we meet. He's here pricking hearts. He's here comforting souls that bereave. He's here convicting lost sinners. He's here chastising wayward walkers. He's doing all of that. The problem is not with the seed. The problem then, if there's no increase, if there's no harvest, if there's no bountiful blessing, the problem not being with the seed suggests only one thing. The problem is with the soil. So we look into this, and I want you to see right off the bat. The Bible says, and I read the first 8 verses, 9, 10 verses. We're going to now pick up the Lord's commentary on his own writings. We pick up in verse number 11, they've asked him about the parable in verse number 10. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? In other words, if you can't understand the simplicity of this one path, how are you going to understand any of them? If you can't understand that God's got good seed and he's throwing it out and preachers are throwing it out and it's being spread out, but it's not producing, if the problem's not then with the seed and you can't understand this parable, then wherein lies the problem? The problem is us, preachers. The problem is us, my friends. And he lays that out. He said, you ain't going to understand any of the parables if you can't get this simple one. So I believe, Brother Tam, maybe that's why he goes into a little in-depth understanding of it to give us a more vivid illustration of what he's talking about. We pick up the reading of verse number 14. The Bible said that the sower soweth the word. So you say, what are you doing today, preacher? I'm up here sowing word. But do you realize what's going to take place? I'm going to sow the word, Preacher Chris, and I'm going to be out there casting my seed. I'm throwing the seed everywhere. I'm throwing it out. But what's happening is it's landing over here in the old stony heart. It's landing over here on good ground. It's landing over here among thistles and briars and thorns. There's a problem going on because the problems that we've got in our lives are manifest in our lives, and we can't separate ourselves, Miss Jan, from out there and in here. So what we do, Brother Kenny, we bring them in here with us, and the Word of God's being sown, but it's falling among the wayside. It's falling among the thorns. It's falling on stony ground. But God, you said, well, shouldn't we come in here then, preacher? Yes, you should come in here. You should come in here with all of those cares and with all of those thorns. You should come in here with all of that hardness. You should come in here with all of that stony heart. You should come in here in all of the manners that I'm preaching about. But God, you don't have to leave in that same manner. But God, come up here and let God help you with it. Let God start to break up the fallow ground of the heart and let him put something in there, bless God, that can then be used to be worked with and be nurtured and be blessed. Because then, Brother Tam, the seed will find the lodging place. And then when it does, it'll then start to produce. Do you realize Satan does not want us to grow? Satan does not want you to be productive. He does not want you to be a blessing. He does not want you to be an effective witness. He does not want you to be a soul winner. Satan hates you, okay? Let's just mark this down. And the feeling should be mutual. If it's not mutual in that you hate him, he hates you, and you hate him in return, I suggest to you, you got a greater problem than I ever thought you did. You got a sin problem. You can't hold hands with the Lord Jesus Christ and hold hands with the devil at the same time. You can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. That's God, you ought to hate Satan. He is a father of all lies. He's tearing families apart. He's tearing up America. We're killing our innocent. That's God, he's doing all these things. We've got a great problem with drug addicts. They're on prescription pills that are dying untimely deaths because of sin, my friends. It's sin. Verse number 4 said this. It came to pass as he sowed that some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. You said, preacher, how in the world can anybody understand what he's talking about? That he sowed seeds by the wayside, and then birds come and plucked it up and ate it. I can't understand that, preacher. We'll read on. Go down to verse number 15. I'm going to show you what he's talking about. He gives us his own commentary on his own word. Verse number 4 said that seed that was sown fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Verse number 15 is now the commentary on that fourth verse, and it says these words, and these that were sown by the wayside. You said, is that the same passage? Look what it said at the top. Verse number 4, some fell by the wayside. What's it saying in verse number 15? That there were some by the wayside. We have to then conclude that he's talking about the same thing. And it said that whenever that was sown by the wayside, he said where the word, it didn't say the seed, it said where the word was sown, but when they heard it, bless God, what happened? You said birds come and got it. Well, verse number 15, the Lord told us that Satan cometh immediately and taketh away. So the first thing I'm preaching about this morning, bless God, is whenever you have got this wayside attitude, you got a wayside heart, bless God, you can imagine very quickly that Satan's going to come in, and bless God, the word of God is going to be stolen right out of your heart. In other words, bless God, you won't even realize it. It's Satan. Why? Because he's the most subtle of all the beasts of the field. He is sly. He is cunning. He is crafty. And Brother Chris, he comes in right whenever we don't even realize it. Bless God, you think you got a great church. About 10, we get right on the precipice of something great, knocking out a wall, building a bigger sanctuary. And then all of a sudden, you look around, you got empty pews. What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Bless God, the Bible said it's not the problem with the seed. Bless God, but Satan is coming in when the seed's sown, and he's stealing it because it's not found a place for lodging. It's not find a root. It's not finding a place to grow. What's going on? You say, why is it not important? I don't know, but I'll tell you what, a thief's stealing. A thief ain't stealing something. It ain't worth anything. If a thief comes to your house, he ain't going to take that rusted pot out behind your building. The thief comes to your house, preacher, he's not going to get something that you've already decided was worthless, and you put out there in your green can to roll down to the street the next time the garbage man comes. The thief comes to your house, Gene, he's not getting that rusty plow down there by the fence row that you've determined you're not going to use anymore. Bless God, what's the thief going to come and get? I'm telling you, the thief's coming to get that which is precious to you. The thief's coming to get that which is important to you. The thief is coming to get that which has value to you. And that's why the word of God should be the most precious thing in your life. It should be the most valuable thing in your life. Bless God, it should be the most important thing in your life. It ain't no wonder, Brother Tam, that Satan is trying his best to steal it from the hearts of God's children. I'm not coming at your house. I'm not a thief. But if I was a thief, I'm not coming there to get your junk. I got enough of my own junk. I've got any thieves in here today? Raise your hand. You're laughing. We had one in the prayer room one night. Chris brought him, the thief in the prayer room. Chris picked him up. God, no, we had him back there, but then a week later we had his grandpa. Y'all said, is that the honest God truth? We had a place out here robbed in Miller's Creek at gunpoint. Brother Chris kept bringing the boys to church. You said, well, he should. They need to be saved. They quit robbing people. Brother Kenny, God is my witness, that boy's grandpa come to the prayer room one night. Said, y'all pray. And I'm not going to call him. I'll call him Kenny. He said, y'all pray for Kenny. Kenny, my grandson. He's been out here robbing these places, scaring everybody to death. Y'all pray for that boy. He needs to be saved. Let's write this down. We got a confession from grandpa that his son is the thief, a robber. Brother Tim, what's the thief want? The Bible said that Satan cometh and taketh it away. Look at verse number 15. The fourth verse might leave you scratching your head thinking, so the bird's got it. It fell by the wayside and the birds come got it. But God, he made it very vivid and very plain for us. Then in verse number 15, the Bible said that when that seed was sown, listen to me, but God, nothing is more valuable than the word of God. Nothing is more precious than the word of God. Nothing should be more important to you than the word of God. Nothing should be more important to you as a daddy. Why? Because your kids need it. But God, your wife needs it. Your marriage is incumbent upon it. But God, we need the word of God. That's how we function in life as Christians, because we are knit together with the word of God. But the Bible said Satan cometh and taketh it away. That's what he wants. He wants to steal which is so precious to us. Man, I hate Satan. I've seen what he's done to families. I've seen what he's done to marriages. I've seen what he's done to teenagers. I've seen what he's done to nations. I've seen what he's done, Brother Tam. I hate Satan. You said, what beyond the stolen seed? Satan's trying to steal the seed out of your heart this morning, Brother Kenny. I'm preaching it, and you know what? While I'm preaching it, I believe it's falling upon good ground. I believe you to be a man of faith. I love you, and I've got a common bond. I feel the same off you, Brother Archie. We got a common spirit among each other. But you know, while I'm preaching, the seed of God, the seed of the Word of God is coming into your heart. Satan's saying, boy, I'd like to steal that. Don't let him steal it, Brother Joe. Put it in a good heart. Put it in a good ground. You say, well, how am I going to get my heart good? How am I going to get that ground? Bless God, keep nurturing it. Yes. Keep working it, Brother Tim. Keep plowing. The Bible speaks over and over and over about plowing. The Bible said, no man having put his hand to a plow. What's he doing? He's furrowing the ground. He's working the soil. Why? So that whenever the seed is sown, that it'll find a place to lodge and that it might take root and spring up. Because we're going to get right here to the very next one that had no root, and then it just withereth away. So the first was the stolen seed. The second is the scorched. Scorched. You ever had your back scorched? Robbie, we used to get scorched about 20 million times a summer because we were in the tobacco patch that I told you about. You said scorched. Is that in the Bible? I believe that it is. Look in verse number 5. Some fell on stony ground, had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up. Because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, what happened to it? It scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. The problem here is clearly that the seed did not have a place to take root. It didn't have a place to flourish. It didn't have a place to draw nutrients. And my friends, how long would you last without this preciousness called water? And how are you going to get it without a root system? Bless God, you want to draw from the wells of grace, as it says in the book of Isaiah, therefore you shall draw joy from the wells of salvation. How are you going to draw joy from the depths of the wells of salvation if you have no root system? You see these trees sometimes in different varieties of trees have different problems. Some of them, Brother Tam, the old weeping willow for one. Don't put that thing near your tail lines. That tail line on a weeping willow is going to be something like a net drawn to a light or something. It's bead drawn to honey, and the taproot on that weeping willow, it'll go, Brother Grant, it'll go 50 or 100 yards down the hill to find that water source. And bless God, you will never see a weeping willow tree blown over by the wind. But sometimes these big straight line winds come through here, and Brother Tam, all of a sudden you'll see a whole tree, Brother Kenny. It's just the whole tree's blown over, and you'll look, what broke that tree off? It wasn't broke off. What happened? It blew it over by the root ball. Why? Because it had no root system. It was just sitting there basically on the top of the ground. That variety of tree was able to thrive without water and without a root system. And I'm afraid, my friends, in the latter day we got a bunch of us sitting around here that has learned how to survive without water, and we're sitting right on top of the ground. You say, well, what's the problem with that, preacher? Bless God. The Bible said that when the sun come out, bless God, when the heat and the adversity. Look down. Let's get the associated verse with that. Chapter number 4, verse number 16 and 17. Here is the commentary on the 5th and the 6th verse that I just read. Here he says in 16, he said, these are these likewise that which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. And that's the way a lot of us are. We receive it with gladness. And we sit back, preacher, and we sit back, Brother Kenny, we say, preach on, preacher, preach on, preacher. And we receive it with gladness, but are we hearing it with a heart? Right. Are we really hearing it with a heart? I don't know if we are or not. Because here's what happened. He said immediately, they received it with gladness. Brother Kim, they're hearing it. Yeah. received it. When you receive something, Brother Kenny, you know what that means? You take it as unto yourself. You give me that ink pen. Hand me that ink pen. I don't want the ink pen. But if I receive it, I take it unto myself. You know what that ink pen is going to become to me, brother? That's a thing for me to write sermon notes with. That's a thing for me to write and send his card. I love you. Do you love me? That's a tool. It's an instrument for me to be used. Well, the word of God should be received gladly in our heart. And bless God, it should be used as an instrument. Yes, in my marriage, in this church. But there's a problem beyond that, receiving it with gladness. And look what it said. Look at verse number 17. Had no root in themselves. You said, so how did it scorch? So endure but for a time. And then afterward, listen to the scripture. I'm not preaching anything that's not in the Bible. It means they have no root system. Therefore, they're taking in no nutrients from beneath. They're taking in no water. They're taking in nothing. And what's got the root system mean? They're easily pushed over. They're easily uprooted. And what does a scorching mean, preacher? Read on with me. It said, when afflictions or persecutions arise, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. I preached a Mother's Day message on being offended. My friends, we've got a problem in the local church that people get offended. And they get offended so easily. You know why? Brother Buscott, they've been scorched. They've got a scorched view of the word of God. And the seed has found the lodging place. But they got scorched. Persecutions come. Afflictions come. And because of those persecutions and afflictions, they had no root system. So therefore, the word of God that they received with gladness, Brother Tommy, it profited them nothing. They weren't drawing water. What's that? That's the word. Am I out of place yet? Church, are you still with me? Tribulations are coming. Trials are coming. Testings are coming. Brother Jody, where you at, son? That prayer request you mentioned in the prayer circle that come off of one of the Johnson's heart, just a young person contemplating suicide. I don't care if you're 10 or 20 or 200 or 1,000 years old. Testings are coming. Problems come, and you say, well, what in the world can a teenager have to worry about? You talk to them. You listen to them. You said, they ought to get out here and try to make a house payment. They ought to get out here and try to pay the bills and pay the electric bill and make a house payment, pay a car payment, pay the insurance, and pay the IRS. Then they'll have some problems. They don't have those problems right now. They got other problems, and their problems are real to them. That's why they need the gladness, and not only the gladness, but they need a root system, Brother Tam, so that whenever the sun comes out, you said the sun, I'm talking about the parching, the adversity, the calamity, the stress, the affliction, as it says here in the Word of God, and the persecution, that they've got something to draw from. Amen. You ever seen anybody try to burn wet wood? I got a son-in-law that's a firefighter. If anybody could set anything on fire and make it last, I figured it would be him. I burned Brother Tam for months and months and months on a brush pile. He kept his eye on that old brush pile. I had cut up some of them old Bradford pears. Y'all know the carnal Christian trees? Yeah, they're beautiful to look at. They bloom pretty and white. The first storm that comes on, they go all to pieces and they bear absolutely no fruit. They're carnal Christian trees. I'd cut some of them things down, some of the stumps on about that big, and I'd put them all in a brush pile. That stuff's still green, Brother Tam. What's that mean? It's still got water in it. If it's got water in it, guess what? It's hard to burn. Jake come by there one day, and it was all gone. He said, what? He said, you got that to burn? It finally laid there long enough, and I'd put about 20 gallons of kerosene on it, soaked it real good, and then I finally got it to burn. But you know what happened? It dried out. You said, what's that about? It's hard to parch something. It's hard to scorch something. It's hard to burn something with affliction and persecution if it's saturated with water. Amen. Tam, you get enough of the Word of God in you, and that Word of God starts flowing freely through you. Bless God, these trials and these afflictions and all these problems that seem so manifest in our life, they're a whole lot easier to deal with. A whole lot easier to contend with. We ain't going to get done. We will too. We're all going to undergo these adversities. However, if you don't have a root system, if you're not firmly planted and don't have a root system, I'm telling you, you're going to be for trouble. You're going to have a problem when the adversity comes. You said, what else have you got, preacher? Well, it's not just the stolen seed from Satan. It's not just the scorched seed from the sun. And like I said, it's not the problem with the seed. The problem with the soil. And go back up to verse number 7. I asked my wife this. I never tell what I'm preaching, but I asked my wife last night. I said, honey, I'm trying to work on alliteration. Some of y'all don't like my alliterations. I didn't even use them during the revival much, but it seemed like we're back to them today. She come downstairs to tell me goodnight. It's probably 11, 1130. I was down there studying. I said, honey, if somebody gets choked, what's another word for that? She said, I don't know. What, strangled? I said, that'll work. So the first was a stolen seed. The second was the scorched seed. I didn't make that word. Was in the Bible. You said, well, you're coming up with strangled on your own. You ever got strangled? What happened to you? Amen. You got choked. So here we are, verse number 7. The Bible said, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and they did what? They choked it, and it yielded no fruit. He said, well, how in the world are you going to spin that one? I didn't have to spin it. The Word of God defined it in verse number 18 and 19. And these are they that were sown among thorns. You said, is that the same passage of Scripture? Read the first part of verse number 7, and some fell among thorns. Read the first part of verse number 18. And these are they which fell among what? Thorns, such as hear the Word of God. And the Bible said, and here comes the definition. Listen to me. The Bible said that the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choked or strangled out the very Word of God, that it become unfruitful. My friends, can we just get down to the wire here and tell you that, bless God, that riches are going to just strangle us family. Riches will strangle people. Why? Because they got to have it, and they take on more debt than they can pay off. You say, what's that the problem of, preacher? Because they have to get the second job and then the third job. Why? Because they got to pay the bills that they've got. And what does that do, Brother Gene? Now they can't come to church. Why? Because they're having to work every second Sunday. They're having to work every Wednesday night. And Brother Kenny, they can never come to a revival. They can never do that. Why? You know what's going on? Bless God, it's not stolen from them. Bless God, it's not scorched off of their back. Bless God, it's a stranglehold on them. And they don't see any way out from under it, because they have got themselves into this position. And it's not just indebtedness. It's not just riches. Although the Word of God says that there are deceitfulness of riches, but it says the lust of other things. And my friends, if we ain't got a problem with the lust of other things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they're all right there before us, preacher. Yes. And you know what those things do? They strangle the very life out of us as individuals, and they'll strangle it out of a church. Right. There's a preacher friend of mine. I call him a friend. I think he's still a friend. I don't see him often, but he run up a huge indebtedness against the church. It'd be about the equivalent, preacher, of me buying land or building a $2-3 million facility and then saying, as soon as it's broke ground, as soon as you got the indebtedness incurred upon you, say, okay, I'm out of here. Now, if God led me to do that work, it could be that God's going to let me finish, or he could be doing me like David. David didn't get to build the temple. Solomon had to do that work, but God's going to be obvious in it. Yes. But brother, you know what that did? That strangled that church. The pastor's gone. What happens a lot of times when a pastor leaves, Brother Grant? You're smarter than you look. What happens to a church when the pastor sometimes changed guard? People started repositioning themselves. That's a given, brother. I don't care which church you're affiliated with, Brother Danny, that happens. It can strangle a church. It can strangle a family. It can strangle an individual. That the Word of God, no, it's not scorched. No, it's not stolen. It's found a lodging place here. But they got in among the thorns, in the thistles, in the briars. It fell, Brother Robbie, into that which just confused the whole situation. The next thing you know, the Word of God is choked or strangled out. And it's not even producing. There was a reason we gassed those plant beds. You know why? Tobacco plants, when they grow, are very, very tender. They are. And if you were trying to sow them among dandelions and thistles and everything, Robbie, we wouldn't have a crop. That's why you got to prepare the soil. You said, you got any more? I got one more. We're going to quit. My throat's about gone anyway. But listen to me, we bite off more than we can chew. You do, I do, we all do. We bite off things, we take on missions, we take on this work, we take on that work. And the next thing you know, it's cut into my preaching time. It's cut into my study time. It's cut into my, more importantly, my prayer time. I'm telling you what, it'll strangle. And you say, well, we don't need a strangled pastor. Lord, we need you to pray for us. You'd be surprised how often this pastor gets strangled. Brother Satan will try to come in and steal it. Oh, yeah, I might get it scorched. It might be burned up, but it won't be for lack of water, Brother Tam, except that I don't put water in. More than likely, preacher, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to have a stranglehold around it. So many demands on my time. And I wouldn't change a thing right now, except that I'd go ahead and retire tomorrow. If they'd say, get out of here, I'd go. But preacher, I was leaving the house every morning at 6:30. You know what time I got in bed every night this week, the past 2 weeks? Oh, about midnight or a little bit later. Get up and go do it all again. Where's my study time? Where's my prayer time for you, Tim, that you need prayer? Where's the prayer time for your daddy, Brother Tim? He's been sick. Oh, I try to keep it on my heart, and I try to pray for Cleith. I try to pray for Woody. I try to pray for Miss Vicky. I try to remember the Ford family. I try to remember this family. I try to remember that family. But I'm telling you what, Miss Cassandra, honey, sometimes we just get a strangle. We just get choked down, bogged down on the things. And that's the way Satan wants it. I'm honest, that's what Satan desires. Keep reading. We got one more to get through, and then we're going to go to the house here in just a few minutes. This is where I preach this whole message to get to verse number 8. Verse number 8 says this, and other fell on good ground. Okay, what's good ground? It's ground that's been worked with. It's ground that's had its sabbatical. You remember the Old Testament law of sabbatical? They had to let rest the land. They'd rest it for 7 years, and then they'd use the land again. Then they'd have to rest the land again. There's something about resting in Jesus. But this soil was prepared. This soil was tended. This soil was nurtured. I believe that it was, as the Bible, the biblical definition is dunged. It was fertilized. It was worked with. And that's what we've got to do to our hearts. We've got to work with it, fertilize it, nourish it, make sure it's got water, irrigation, that we always have a source to go to. But in verse number 8, it said, the other fell on good ground and did yield fruit and sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. The parallel verse to that, the commentary verse to that is verse number 20. Look at verse number 20, and it said, and these are they which were sown on good ground. So that you understand, verse number 8 said it fell on good ground. Verse number 20 said, and they are the which were sown on good ground. And here it is. They hear the word of God. They don't just hear the word of God, Brother Chris. What's the next part say? They receive it. Not only does it, they hear it and receive it, but it becomes fruitful unto them. Why? Because the quality of the soil. It's because of the preparation of the soil. It's because of the plowing of the soil. It's because of the planting of the seed. It's because everything that has taken place, Brother Tim, has come together and come to fruition, that this seed, there's nothing wrong with this seed, the precious seed, the important seed, the seed, brother, that changes a life, takes a young man and puts him into the ministry of the gospel of Jesus. It's that seed that does the work, and it's found a lodging place. And it didn't say that it just saved Kenny. It says some brought forth 30, some 60. If y'all ever get a chance to see, there's a documentary out on either Netflix or Amazon Prime or Roku or one of those. It's a story about Billy Graham. You said, you're preaching Billy Graham today. I don't preach Billy Graham, Billy Sunday, D.L. Moody. I'm preaching Jesus. But Brother Tam, he come from very meager, very, very meager beginnings. But the word of God found a lodging place in his heart. He heard it and he received it. Some brought forth 30. Some brought forth 60. It's untelling. When Mordecai Ham preached the message that brought the conviction to a man by the name of Billy Graham, it's untelling when the word of God found its lodging place in Billy Graham's heart, what it has done over the course of a time and eternity. I'm serious. Some brought forth 30, some 60, and some 100-fold and more. Why? Because it was received in good ground. Well, preacher, I'm just not good ground. You can be. Yeah, you can. You can be good ground. You're no different than anybody else. You can be good ground. The soil just needs to be worked with. It just needs some nutrients. It needs some tending. It needs some plowing. Brother John, it needs some things removed from it. Get those rocks out of there. Get the stumps out. Get the bramble out. Kill back the briars and those things that would choke out the seed so that when the seed comes up, it'll be drawn out on good ground. All over the house today, we stand. Miss Macy comes. I'm going to ask you, have you done and I get this about once a week. Have you done a soil quality test? Brother Clayton, y'all ever had to do this? They come into the office over there where I work. They bring me a little square box about that long, about that high, and about that thick. And as soon as they come in the door with it, I know what it is. I know what it is. I've seen enough of them over the time. It's going down to Raleigh, to NC State. You know what they're doing? They're bringing in soil. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. They want to see what the pH balance is in their yard. They're wanting to make sure that their crop or their field or whatever they're doing will have the right nutrients. Some need 10-10-10. Some need 5-5-30. Some need different nitrogen versus the other elements that make up fertilizer, Brother Robbie. So what they do, they bring that soil test in. They say, I got some dirt. Need to mail that dirt off. Same thing every time. You going to charge me $4.35 to mail that dirt down to Raleigh? I guess I'll just drive it down there. Okay, here's your dirt back. No, I'll just mail it. We do this all the time. Same farmer, same people, same vineyard, just the orchardist, same one, same apple fields, peach fields, nectarines, whatever they're growing. They all do it. Got to send that down to Raleigh. All right, we'll send it off. You going to charge me $4 to send that? Yeah, we're going to charge. Yeah. You say, what's that all about? Some of you need a soil test. Some of you need to get along with God. Say, I want you to check the pH balance of my soil. Find out what I need. Find out what kind of cultivating I need. Find out what I got to do. Because it seemed like the word, the seed, is being sown. But as soon as it finds my ears, this devil comes in and steals it. That was the first thing. It was a stolen seed. Or maybe I did receive it. Next thing I know, it was scorched. The afflictions, the persecutions of life come against me. And it was scorched. It was gone. Just took out of my life. It's gone. Yeah. Or then, you could go right on down the line, Brother Tam. I received it with gladness. I even thought it was good this time. I thought it was real this time. But, preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. We bit off more than we could chew. Satan's got a stranglehold on me. And that word was strangled out. Or the last one. It's the successful soil. Amen. It's subtle. So subtle that these things happen to Brother Tim. Satan being the most subtle of all the beasts. It happens overnight. You don't even realize it. A church that one time was praising God is now sitting back in silence. A family that one time was going and preaching and doing. Now they're not doing anything. Children that were one time obedient. Going to church with mom and daddy. You don't even see the kids anymore. Yeah, in this church too. Kids get about 10, 12, 13, 14, so I ain't going to church over there anymore. Mom and daddy ain't got enough nerve or enough gall to stand up and say, yeah, you are. No, I ain't. Yeah, you are. As long as you're under my roof, you're going to Calvary. As long as you're under my roof, you're going to church. But no, we've got kids now calling the shots. How's your soil? Problem ain't, there ain't no problem with the seed. I promise you, there is nothing wrong with the seed. As we sing, Brother Scott, what have you got? 379.